Luke chapter number 7. Luke chapter number 7. And I really desire your prayers this morning that the Lord would speak to our hearts and help us. I don't have a 4th of July message today. And I told Kim on the way to church, I said, people might get tired of my preaching on the nation anyway. So I don't think we've neglected that subject over the years. And we certainly know that our nation needs the Lord now more than ever. But the Lord just didn't give me anything along those lines, which is all right. But I do want us to read several verses here out of Luke chapter number 7. We're going to read verses 30 through verse number 39. I preached a few different messages out of this passage of Scripture, but I've never preached this message that I'm going to bring today. But this is a good passage of Scripture. If you'll study this and meditate on this, it'll really bless your heart. But Luke chapter 7, verse number 30, we're going to begin there. The Bible said, "But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of Him." Talking about the baptism of John. "And the Lord said, whereunto then shall I liken the men of this generation, and to what are they like? They're like unto children sitting in the marketplace, and calling one to another, and saying, we have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned to you, and ye have not wept. For John the Baptist came, neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and ye say, he hath a devil. The Son of Man is come, eating and drinking, and ye say, behold, a gluttonous man and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of all her children. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner." Let's pray. Lord, I do thank you for letting us be here today and all the many blessings of life. Lord, we thank you for the good service, the good singing thus far. Thank you for the lesson in Sunday school, how we need to be reminded of what we've been learning about in the book of James. And Lord, I just pray that you would be with all these many objects that have already been mentioned today. A lot of sickness going on in the church, in our church family. Lord, we pray for those that are affected. We pray for all the families involved. Dear God, that you just have your way. I pray you'd be with us in the coming week. And everything that goes on, Lord, we commit it into your hands. We don't know about tomorrow, but Lord, we know that you do. And we just know that, Lord, you have told us in your word just to trust in you. And you'll lead us and guide us, and I'm thankful for that. Now, Lord, I pray that you'd take the message and bless it. Use it for your honor and your glory. Speak to hearts today as only you can and have your perfect way in each of our lives. We'll thank you for what you do. We pray for your power. We pray that the Holy Spirit of God would, as the ladies played this morning, be welcome in this place. And Lord, that you'd have your way. We'll thank you for what you do. We ask it in Jesus' name and amen. All right, you pray real hard that the Lord would just have his way and speak to hearts. This morning, I want us to go back to verse number 34, and we'll take our text from there. Verse number 34, "The Son of Man is come eating and drinking, and ye say, behold, a gluttonous man and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners." And what we have in this verse, this passage of Scripture, we have an accusation about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is not what Jesus said about Himself, but what they, the Pharisees, said about Him. And this is what it means in the last part of verse 33, where it says, "And ye say," talking about, they were talking about John the Baptist, "ye say, he hath a devil. Jesus said, the Son of Man is come, eating and drinking, and ye say, behold, a gluttonous man, and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners." The Pharisees and the lawyers accuse the Lord Jesus Christ of being a friend of publicans and sinners. Now, can you imagine that the Lord Jesus would be accused of being a friend of publicans and sinners, is what the Bible says. That's what they accused Him of. Now, in verses 37 through verse number 39, that proves that He was a friend of publicans and sinners. Look in verse number 37, what the Bible says. "And behold, a woman in the city was a sinner." And we've read how that she came and anointed the Lord Jesus there. But He was a friend of sinners. And I want to preach today on the subject, the sinner's best friend. The sinner's best friend. That's who the Lord Jesus Christ was. He's the sinner's best friend. I studied about this subject, or this thought of being a friend. I looked up what the dictionary says that a friend is, and I'm just going to read some of the definitions of a friend. A friend is one who is attached to another by affection, esteem, respect, which lead him to desire his company and seek to promote his happiness and prosperity. That's one of the things that the dictionary says about a friend. One not hostile. I like that. We don't want to be at enmity with the Lord Jesus Christ. One not hostile. One reconciled after enmity. You know, sometimes you can have a problem between people, but they get over the problem, and when the problem is settled, they are friends again. And so that's what a friend is. One reconciled after enmity. A companion. A favorer. I like that. A favorer. That's what a friend is. To befriend somebody. To support or aid somebody. And Jesus Christ is the best friend an old sinner's ever had. So that's what we want to look at and think about just a little while today. I want to point some things out from this passage of Scripture. First of all, going back to verse number 34, and we think about it like this. Number one, who is the best friend of the sinner? Who are we talking about? Verse number 34, the Bible said this, the Son of Man. That's who we're talking about. Who is the friend of a sinner? The Son of Man is the sinner's best friend. Now that Son of Man is the title of His humanity. Now he has many titles in the Bible talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That speaks about His deity, the deity of Christ, God manifest in the flesh. But when we're talking here about this accusation of being a friend of sinners, it says the Son of Man. And the Son of Man reminds us of the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. You think about it today, when we think about our Savior, we're talking about somebody that was born in a manger. We all know, or I think everybody probably knows, what we refer to as the Christmas story and the lowly birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, He came from glory. He came from heaven. He came from the worship of angels. But when God came into this world, He came in the lowliest manner imaginable. He wasn't born in a palace. He wasn't born into royalty. Why, He was worthy and deserving of what you might say the best birth that anybody could have, and the best palace in the world wouldn't have been worthy for the Lord Jesus Christ. But when God came to this world, He came to the lowliest place, and He had the lowliest parentage you might think of. I mean, born in a barn. That's what it boils down to. Born in a manger. Born to lowly parents. Not somebody that was living in a palace or something like that, but just common people. When we think about Mary and Joseph, raised in a carpenter's home. He knew about hard work. He knew about sweat. He knew about a family that would work and toil to, what we might say, pay the bills. And he walked the dusty roads, and he knew what it was in his life to be tired and tried and tempted and lonely and dejected. He knew what it was to be angry. All of these things, the whole of the human experience. Everything that you and I go through, the only difference, the major difference between our human experience and the human experience of the Lord Jesus Christ is that His was, as it says in the book of Hebrews chapter 4 verse 15, His experience yet without sin. That's the biggest, that is the difference. See, if He had sinned, He couldn't be our Savior, but He went through everything that you and I go through, yet without sin. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 15 says, "For we have not an high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." He knows what He knew what it's like to be tempted, but He never did sin. He knew what it was like to be lonely. He knew what it was like to be misunderstood. He knew what it was like to be rejected of His own friends and family. All these things that we experience in the human life, He knows. He understands. He's what we might say, He can come along to us. You see, a real friend understands where you're coming from. A real friend can relate to what you're going through. A real friend can say with meaning, "I understand." You know, there's people in this world, they live, I was thinking about you get the newspaper, you read about the so-called celebrities and people that live, that they don't even live in the real world. I mean, they live so extravagantly, and you know, what's that to me? I don't care how they live and what they do and how they spend their money. But you know, after a while, they get out of touch with real people, common people. And if somebody like that, say a Donald Trump or some of these real mega rich people came to where we are and where we live, and they said, "I understand," I'd sort of doubt if they really understand. But the Lord Jesus can come into our human experience, and when the Lord Jesus says, "I understand," He really understands. He's been there. He's been through. Who are we talking about? We're talking about the Son of Man. It's no accident that that's the way they referred to the Lord Jesus Christ. When they accused Him of being a friend of sinners, the Son of Man, Jesus said in Luke chapter 19 verse 10, and this is right after His dealings with Zacchaeus. You know, the little man that climbed up in the tree to see Jesus. Jesus said in Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." He's the sinner's greatest friend. Paul said it like this, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Boy, can you imagine that this morning? The Apostle Paul said, "Of all the sinners in the world, I'm the biggest." And He came to save the biggest. He came to save a sinner like me. So who are we talking about this morning? We're talking about the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man who came down and dwelt among us. But I want to point out also, second of all today, whom just is it that we're talking about? Now, if you look in verse number 35, you find out who it is, whom it is that we're talking about. Well, verse 34 said they accused him of being a friend of publicans and sinners. Look at verse 37. And behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner. I want to point out this morning, whom is it that we're talking about? We're talking about sinners. Sinners. Look in verse number 39. Last part of the verse, the Bible said, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman. Now that's saying a lot about this woman. What kind of woman was she? Simon, that's this man's name that Jesus was in his house. He said about her, would have known who and what manner of woman. What kind of woman was she? Evidently, she had a certain reputation. I don't know exactly what it was, but Simon sure knew something about her. And he said if he was a prophet, he would have known who this woman and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him. For she is a sinner. Talking about sinners today. You know, I talked about Zacchaeus. You know what they said? Look over in Luke chapter 19. This is real close by. Luke chapter number 19. When the Lord Jesus came to Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus was up in the tree, and the Lord Jesus said, come down today. I'm coming to your house. And the Lord Jesus went to the house of Zacchaeus. And it said in Luke chapter 19 and verse number 7, it said, and when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. What kind of man was that? Zacchaeus anyway? The Bible said he's a sinner. He's the best friend the sinners ever had. He's the best friend a sinner ever will have. Look in Luke chapter number 5. Let's read some verses over there. Go back in your Bibles. We're talking about, what kind of people are we talking about? We're talking about sinners. When the Bible talks about a sinner, the definition of a sinner is an offender. What you're talking about when you use the word sinner, you're talking about somebody that is actually a criminal because they've broken the law. What a sinner is in the Bible, it's somebody that's a criminal, an offender. And the dictionary has an offender, capital A, capital N, in the old dictionary, an offender, a criminal. Luke chapter 5, verse number 27, is talking about the call of Matthew, or Levi as he's called here. And he was one of the Lord's disciples. And Luke chapter 5, verse 27 said, and after these things he went forth and saw a publican. Now, that's a good question. You know, when I was a little boy, and it talked about publicans in the Bible, I thought that was the Republicans. I just putting two and two together, but now that's not what it's talking about. Now, they're sinners too, but so are the Democrats. They're all rotten. Amen, you know that. Well, there's my 4th of July message. Anyway, that's not what it's talking about. This is this publican we're talking about. He saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, follow me. Levi was a tax collector. That's what he was. Verse 28, and he left all, rose up and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house. There was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, Why do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners? There it is again. Why would somebody with the reputation of the Lord Jesus Christ, they couldn't understand the company that he kept. Why would you eat with publicans and sinners? It's what they asked. Verse 31, here's why. And Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. That's why he was hanging around with the publicans and the sinners. Verse 32, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance, is what the Bible says. Now, if you've got cancer, you know what? It'll kill you whether you know it or not. If you know about it, or if you don't know about it, it's the same deadly disease working sometimes quietly to do its deadly work in a person's body. But some people go to the doctor and they didn't know it, but they found out they were eat all up with it. And it's not just a very short period of time and they're gone. Whether you know it or not, it'll still kill you. And sin is like that too. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Do you know what that word all means? It means all. For all are infected. All have the same deadly disease. It's not called cancer, but it's called sin. You know what? We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all missed the mark. According to the Bible, we're all sinners. According to the Bible, all our righteousness are as filthy rags. Luke chapter number 7 tells us the true story about two patients. Both of them had the same disease. One of them knew it and the other one didn't know it. This woman that came to the Lord Jesus Christ, why, she knew she was a sinner. She didn't come before the Lord Jesus and say, you know, I'm a pretty good person. I've not killed anybody. I don't know how many people I've had tell me that over the years. Tell them they're lost, they're a sinner. They've sinned and come short of the glory of God. If they die without the Lord Jesus Christ, they'll die and go to hell. And I don't know how many people I've had tell me through the years, well, I'm a pretty good person. I've not killed anybody. Like that's the only thing that sends somebody to hell. But this lady didn't come pleading her innocent case. She knew she was a sinner. She made no bones about it. Everybody knew that she was a sinner. That was her reputation in the town. But Simon, buddy, he's got a problem, but he just doesn't know what it is or he won't acknowledge it. Simon was too good to need saving. These people like that. Simon was a Pharisee. Simon was a religious person. Simon had many good works, no doubt, to his name. And Simon was an educated individual. And Simon judged himself a judge. Instead of saying, I'm a sinner, he sat there with his arms crossed looking over at the Lord Jesus Christ judging him and saying if he was really a prophet, he would know that she's a sinner. But Simon knew she was a sinner. But Simon didn't realize his condition. He was a sinner too. And I'll tell you, the hardest people to see saved and come to the Lord Jesus Christ are those that are righteous in their own eyes. And Jesus Christ, that's why he said in Luke chapter 5, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. And if you ever once realize you're sick, you'll come to the Lord Jesus, and guess what? He'll save you. But if you won't come a sinner, you'll never be saved. You'll die and go to a hell that's full of sinners, whether you think you're one or not. If you won't come a sinner, you'll never be saved. But if you'll ever once come a sinner, you know what? He saves old sinners. I like that song. He saves old sinners. Who are we talking about? We're talking about sinners. And we're all sinners according to the Word of God. But number three this morning, when is He the friend of sinners? Well, look in verse number 37, what the Bible says. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment. I've thought about this a lot in my mind. If you were there, if you'd have been in the house on that day, and here's the Lord Jesus, here's Simon, here's other individuals sitting around, can you imagine the scene when this sinner woman walks in the door? She's uninvited. She's unwanted. Simon doesn't want her there. He doesn't have any use for her. You can tell in the way he talks about her, he has no use for this woman whatsoever. But here comes this sinner woman into the Pharisee's house, into Simon's house, and she's not wanted there, and it's an awkward time and an odd thing for her to do. Yet the Lord Jesus Christ did not turn her away. He didn't say, this is not a good time. He didn't say, talk to me later. He did not turn her away. How or when is the Lord Jesus a friend to sinners? He's a friend right now. I noticed this in this passage of Scripture. He was available when the sinner come to Him. Right then, He was available. He was accessible. The door wasn't locked. She was able to come in. She had access to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was touchable. There's so many people in this world, if you needed to talk to them, you couldn't talk to them. You couldn't find them. You couldn't touch them. But the Lord Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, she walks right into the house and has access to the Savior and touches Him. Touches Him. Has fellowship there with Him in the midst of all that was going on. If the Lord Jesus Christ could have hung a sign out on His ministry, the sign would have said, no appointment necessary. You can come right now. Come as you are. Come right now. You don't have to get in line. You can come. You can have access to the Savior right now. What a blessing. Revelation 22 and verse 17 said, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. That's the Holy Spirit. And the bride is the church. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Boy, what an invitation given by the Word of God, given by the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I mentioned this a while back, but water fountains, they're all over the place. There's a water fountain in the back of the church. You go to the library, there's a water fountain. You go to the public school, there's a water fountain. You go to the park sometimes, there's a water fountain. You go to the mall, you go to Walmart. You can find them just about everywhere and anywhere, all over the place. And nobody walks up to a water fountain and says, boy, I sure would like to have something to drink, but I don't have no money. No, it's completely understood by everybody that it's there just for the taking. It's there for whosoever will. If you're thirsty, it's there for you. If you'd like to have a drink, it's there for you. It's not going to cost you anything. The price has been paid. The water's turned on. All you got to do is come and get a drink and you can have a drink, and it doesn't matter who you are. And that's the picture that the Lord Jesus, the very last chapter and the last verses in the Bible said, whosoever is athirst, let him come. That's the last invitation. Are you thirsty? Let him come. Get a drink of water. The water of life freely. You can have it. Won't cost you anything, and it's available, and it's always open. But you know, there's a lot of people in the world, especially here in America, they don't like the idea of a public drinking fountain. You know, we've got in our mind down through the years that almost that we're above that. Do you know a lot of places, the water fountains are right beside the drink machines? And people will go up and they will pay $2 for a bottle of water they bought. They could have had the same thing for free. Isn't that interesting? But you know what? That's just exactly how salvation is. There's a lot of people in this world that somehow have got the idea that if they don't pay for it, they've got to pay for it. And that to come lowly and get it for free is somehow beneath them. Or that somehow that's a dirty way to be saved. You know, some people, they're too good to get down and get a drink of water out of a water fountain. I mean, that's where poor people, you don't know, that might have germs. Hey, if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to have to come the way that everybody else comes. That's the only way to get in. You got to come the same as everybody else. And if you think that that is beneath you, I'm sorry. You'll never get in. You got to come like a sinner. You got to come like a low-down offender, criminal. You broke the law of God. You're a sinner. You'll die and go to hell without the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the facts of the Word of God. But to a lot of people, it's just beneath them to come that way. To humble themselves and repent of their sins. But I'm telling you, the thirsty soul can come and get a drink and be happy and glad for it. If you ever get real thirsty, you really desire to be saved, you'll come. You'll come humbly or you'll not come at all. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 2, it says, "Behold, now is the day of salvation." When should a person get saved? They ought to get saved right now. They ought to get saved before it's eternally too late. Jesus didn't say this woman. He didn't tell her. He didn't say, "Come back later. Now's a bad time. Now is a good time." It's as good a time as any. You want to be saved? Get saved right now. Get saved today. He didn't turn that woman away. Yeah, she was a sinner. He's the best friend she ever had. When can you get saved? You can get saved right now. You can have access. You can touch the hem of His garments. You can get a drink for your soul that you'll never thirst again. John chapter 4. Right now. Right now. Number 4. How? How is He a friend to sinners? Look in verse 38. What the Bible says. How is He the best friend a sinner ever had? The Bible said that this woman came in and stood at His feet behind Him weeping, and began to wash His feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed His feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden Him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth Him, for she is a sinner." How is it that He's the best friend a sinner ever had? She came just like she was. And we sing that song we've sang and sang down through the years. The church and God's people have sang it hundreds of thousands of millions of times, "Just as I am, without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me." You know, the Lord Jesus Christ didn't look at that woman and He didn't say to her, "Now, first thing you need to do before you go any farther, you need to go and change your ways." You know, He didn't tell her that. "Lady, if you're going to come in here and fellowship with us, and if you're going to touch me, and if you're going to anoint my body with oil," you see, this is for has a lot of significance, but it's pointing to the cross. He's getting ready to go to the cross and die for sinners. He didn't say you need to go and change your ways. You need to go and change your clothes. You need to go and change your friends or change your habits or change your reputation and then come and see me. That's not what He said. She just came right then just as she was. You know, there's a lot of people won't come to church because of the way they're living. You ever invited somebody to church and they said, "Oh, if I came to church, the building would be struck with lightning." Hey, if that's the way you feel about it, church is exactly where you need to be. If you're backslid on God, if you're not right with God, if you're not where you should be with the Lord, you know what? You know where you need to be? You need to be in church. Church is for sinners. I think we forgot that down through the years. And somehow the idea has been put out that if you're going to come to church, you need to be first be a good person, and you need to have reformed and turned over a new leaf, and you need to be doing pretty good and reading your Bible, and then you know if you get everything, all your ducks in a row and lined up and living like a so-called respectable person, then go to church. Hey, that's the wrong idea. Church is for lost people. It's for sinners. It's for people that's not right with God, not living right, not doing right. Maybe we need to hang out a sign said, "Sinners still welcome." Still welcome. I invited somebody recently, and I could tell, you know, they hung their head. They said, I know I need to be. Hey, come on. Just come on like you are. Let God speak to your heart. You're sure not going to get what you need out there in the world, laying around with the world's crowd and doing this and doing that. Come on like you are. Let God work on your heart. He did mine one time. I've been so backslid, God should have struck me with lightning and went on to church anyhow. And just by the grace of God, and my parents raised me to go to church, to be in church. And there's been times where I was not where I should have been, but I went to the house of God and sat there cold as a rock. And somehow the Spirit of God came by where I was, touched my heart, did a work of grace in my heart and changed me, changed the direction that I was going in. That's nothing but the grace and the Spirit of God. People say, "Oh, I can go worship out there. I can do the same thing." God never spoke to me out there like He spoke to me in here. God's still speaking to His people. God's still speaking to sinners. Come on to church. All people say, "They're a bunch of hypocrites." Well, so are you. Just come on, Jordan. "They're a bunch of sinners." So are you. I promise you, you'll fit right in. Just come on. Just come on. Nobody in their right mind would stand up, put their nose in the air and say, "You deserve to be here. There's something good about you." If that's your attitude this morning, you're worse than Simon was. Only a sinner, saved by grace, sitting in the house of God today with the Word of God, hearing the good songs of Zion. It's only by the grace of God, not anything in my hand I bring, simply to Thy cross, just because of Him, because of His goodness and His mercy. Church is for sinners. It's for lost people. Ought to want them to come, encourage them to come. That's where you're going to get help. That's where you're going to get on the right path. That's where the Spirit of God's going to speak to your heart. That's where I got saved, praise God. What if the Lord Jesus Christ would have rebuked her that toucheth Him? What if when this lady had have come in with the good intention of her heart, with the alabaster box of ointment, and she'd have got real close to the Lord Jesus Christ, what if He'd have said, "Well, hold on just a minute. I'll catch up with you later. You go on outside. I'll be done here in a little while. These are important people, and we're trying to talk and have a meal here, and I'll just catch up with you later. You just go out." Do you think she'd have waited around? Do you think she'd have sought him out later? Do you think she'd have felt the same about him after as she did when she went in? She'd have been disappointed. But he didn't say, just catch up with me later. Is all right, right then. Just like she was. If you'll come just like you are, God, he'll work on the after. Don't worry about the after. Just worry about right now. Are you saved? Are you right with God where you ought to be? How is he the best? How is he the friend of sinners? He'll take you just like you are. He'll take you just as I am. Boy, what a blessing. Number five, why is he a friend of sinners? Look in verse number 41. I think I read verse number 40. Maybe I didn't. Let me read that. Why is he a friend of sinners? Verse 40 said, and Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. What do you got to say, Jesus? I want to hear it. Verse 41 said, there is a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore which of them will love him most. Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loveth much, loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. Why is he the best friend a sinner ever had? Because he can forgive their sins. Boy, that woman, evidently she was a sinner, even by the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's why she loved him so much. Because she needed a lot of forgiving. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. Verse 49, and they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? See that spirit about them. Verse 50, and he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Why is he such a friend to sinners? Because he can forgive them and he can save them. And that's what he did. He forgave the woman. And in verse number 50, thy faith has saved thee. You're saved. Go in peace. He can forgive us. He can save us. Nobody in the world can do that for you. No religion in the world can do that for you. No religion, no matter how good you are, you cannot get your sins forgiven and you can't be saved apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why you need him. People say, I'm a pretty good person. You might be, but you're still a sinner. You'll still die and go to hell. I'm glad God saves old sinners. I like that song. It comes down to that first verse, the end. He said, and the biggest surprise is that he will save a sinner like me. I'm so glad God saves old sinners. This woman went home saved. Simon sat there looking down his nose at her with his arms crossed. And as far as we know, when the Lord Jesus Christ left his house, he was still lost as he ever was. She went home saved. Look at Romans chapter 6. I'm quickly going to come to a close here. I want to read some verses over there in Romans chapter number 6. I got to thinking about this. Why is he such a friend to sinners? Romans chapter number 5. I said 6, but Romans chapter 5, verse number 6. I want to read some verses over there before I close this morning. Why is he such a friend to sinners? Look what the Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse number 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, are you worth dying for? I'm not. Buddy, I'm not worth dying for. I don't know that the Lord's got back much on his investment with me, but why would he do it? Because he loves sinners. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, past, present, and future, God knew what he was getting with you. God knew what he was getting with me because he knew what you was. He knew what you were, and he knew what you was going to be. And he died for sinners anyway. That's hard for me to wrap my head around. Verse 9 said, much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. See, he said, at one time we were enemies. But what's a friend? But a friend is somebody that's reconciled after enmity. That's what a friend is. While we were yet enemies, for when we were yet enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. He's made a way where we can be friends. Look in John 15. I'm going to read a couple more verses over there in John 15, and then we're going to close this morning. Why is he such a friend to sinners? Because he loves them. We're no longer enemies. We've been saved from wrath through the death of his Son. Through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can come and be saved. And Jesus said to his disciples in John chapter 15 and verse number 12, and I love this scripture. Jesus said, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Laid down his life for his friends. He sacrificed for us. Went to the cross for us. Verse number 14, the Bible said, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. What would you think about a friend if you said, you're my friend? Yes, I'm your friend. I got something I want you to do. Will you do it? If you're a true blue friend, you'll say, if I can, by the grace of God. He said, you're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Verse number 15, he said, henceforth I call you not servants. For the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. You remember when you was a little kid, and you had your friends, and you'd go to your closest friend, and you'd say, now I'm going to tell you something, but you can't tell nobody. That's what the Lord Jesus said to the disciples. He said, I'm not treating you like servants. I'm treating you like friends. Whatever the Father's told me, I've told you. And boy, did he tell them some things in that passage of Scripture. He said, and if I go away, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. Boy, that's a family secret. One of these days, the Lord Jesus, he'll come, receive us that are saved unto himself. And the world will look around and they'll say, what in the world happened? We know what's happening. The world doesn't know what's happening. And then he said, and this is what I'm getting to, verse 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. I see in verses 16 and 17 that as the children of God, as a friend of the Lord, we've got a purpose. Isn't that a blessing? God doesn't save us just to sit there and do nothing. God's got something for us to do. He's ordained us to go and bring forth fruit. I close by saying this morning. They said that he was a friend of sinners, and he was, and he is. And boy, we ought to praise the Lord for that. But are you a friend of his? Are you a friend of his? Are you saved this morning? Are you serving him with your life? Brother Nathan, we sang the song 220, The Love of God, this morning before I got up here. But I noticed on the other page, there's a song that says, Christ receiveth sinful men. Verse 1 said, sinners, Jesus will receive. Sound this word of grace to all who the heavenly pathway leave, all who linger, all who fall. Sing it o'er and o'er again, Christ receiveth sinful men. Make the message clear and plain. Christ receiveth sinful men. Isn't that a blessing? He's still receiving sinful men. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning. I'm going to ask the ladies to come to the instruments.